We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org. Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
Good evening. This is my first see-through pulpit. So usually I do a little jig while I preach, but I guess I can't do that this evening. On behalf of my family, I would like to say thank you. I am finishing up my first year at Memphis School of Preaching, and West Huntsville has played a huge part in that. You've supported me, you've blessed me, and I say thank you. You've helped me with the ability to go on the restoration trip, and you've supported me through my first year. I can never repay you monetarily, but I'm going to repay you by working diligently for the Lord. I'm going to preach the word. And again, I say thank you. You are looking at a person who has been converted out of denominationalism. For a long time, I was under the notion that we can go to any church that fits me. I can go to a church where I develop these warm, fuzzy feelings and it makes me feel good inside my heart. I could choose a church where I can worship how I like to worship. Sound familiar? It took me 25 years to find the truth. 25. It took me 25 years to understand and accept it. It took me 25 years to know that when it comes to worship, when it comes to our salvation, when it comes to whatever is accepted according to truth, God is not playing around. It's a very serious thing. This evening, we will have a lesson on scriptural authority when it comes to instrumental music. You see, before attending the Memphis School of Preaching, as mentioned earlier, I was a high school band director for 8 years. Music, it's such a huge part in my life, particularly instrumental music. I always thought of myself as an instrumentalist, never a vocalist. I never thought that I would preach in front of you, let alone sing, lead singing for congregations. But you may be asking yourselves, why this lesson? I already know that I'm attending a Church of Christ. I accept that there are no instruments on stage. We sing a cappella. I understand that. I accept it. That's fine. I want you to take this lesson, and when you study the Bible with someone in the world, this question comes up often. Use the points in this lesson to help you refute by using scripture. I see many youth in the audience tonight. If you're a child of God, you are the church of today. You are the church. Don't let anybody ever say that you're the church of tomorrow. If you're a child of God, you're the church of today. But You will be our leaders in the future. Our preachers, our elders, they will one day go on to their reward. It's a fact of life. And someone must step up. I read sometimes in publications where churches of Christ are inviting or outreaching to their communities to invite them to their very first service that includes instrumental music. And I ask myself, why is this happening? And the only conclusion that I can think of is maybe it's not preached enough. To break down this lesson, we are going to focus on the following points. We're going to define the word a cappella. And we're going to point out the verses that command this practice in worship. Two, we're going to consider objections the world has, and we are going to use scripture to refute those objections. And number three, we're going to determine who exactly is the audience in worship. Let's define a cappella. A cappella is defined as singing without the accompaniment of mechanical instruments. You all knew that definition. But here's something that you might not have known. Its origin is Italian, meaning in chapel style or in the manner of the church. Even though the dictionary is not an authoritative book, we can still see this as shedding light as at one time man thought of the music in church as a cappella. The following verses are referenced to the type of music which the early New Testament church used. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives, Matthew 26:30. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, Acts 26:25. For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name, Romans 15:9. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also, 1 Corinthians 14:15. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, Ephesians 5:19. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, Colossians 3:16. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee, Hebrews 2:12. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms, James 5:13. You will find singing in the New Testament, but you will not find in the inspired word anywhere a single reference authorizing instrumental music in worship. And we are encouraged by our Lord to carefully, meticulously investigate the scriptures to find it. And you will find that it is silent concerning instrumental music in worship. Therefore, it is evident that those who do use mechanical instruments in worship do so without scriptural authority. Number two, let's consider some objections one may have, and we're going to use scripture to refute those objections. Here's one. It doesn't say not to use instruments, so it must be acceptable. Does that sound familiar? People want the Bible to say, thou shalt, or thou shalt not, for everything, and if there is not such a saying, it has to be okay. To conclude that silence of the word of God is as much a guide for men as its positive commands is false. It's false teaching. In other words, some wrongly believe that a thing is all right for worship unless it's explicitly forbidden. But when God commands men to do anything specifically, listen to this, everything else in the related category is excluded. Let me give you an example. Unleavened bread and fruit of the vine, they are the elements of that God has ordained of the Lord's Supper. And the specific divine requirement for these elements excludes everything else. No one would be foolish enough to insist upon adding any other kind of element, such as meat or potatoes or anything of that nature. When God commanded the children of Israel to use a lamb for the Passover feast in Exodus 12, every other kind of animal was automatically excluded. Automatically. You know, God did not have to expressly mention all the animals that were not to be used. He specified the specific animal. Can you imagine how thick the Bible would be if he had to say, thou shalt not use a goat, thou shalt not use a giraffe or a hippopotamus or... Sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? There are two kinds of commands in the Bible. Specific commands and generic commands. For instance, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Genesis 6:14. That is a specific command. God specified the wood, and that settled the question of the kind of wood. God did not have to say, thou shalt not use no other kind of wood, but the fact that God limited the wood to gopher wood forbade use of any other kind. Now, if God had said, make thee an ark of wood, that's a generic command. He didn't specifically say what kind of wood. So the kind of wood, any kind, would have been acceptable. If the New Testament had simply said, make music, just make music, the commandment could have been complied with by making either vocal or instrumental music or both. God, however, did not say that. He said, sing. And that restricts the music to vocal music. The specification and limitation is as clear here as it was in the command to build an ark of gopher wood. Here's the second one. Instruments were used in the Old Testament. You know, it may appear logical to justify instrumental music in New Testament worship by saying that it took place in the Old Testament. If men bring instrumental music into worship service today on the ground that it is mentioned in the Old Testament, consistency, to be consistent, demands that they bring animal sacrifices and the burning of incense also. I see that no one here brought a goat. In the Old Testament, David said, praise him with psaltery and harp. Praise him with timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Psalm 153 and 4. Dance? Are we to have dance as part of our worship today? Is it acceptable to pick out of Jewish worship just what we want, leaving the rest? Is it acceptable to find out what God has seen fit to continue and sanction for Christian worship? Prayer was a part of Jewish worship, as was the burning of incense and animal sacrifice. Christians today rightly continue prayer as an act of Christian worship and reject animal sacrifice on the principle that we are now living under the new law of Christ, in which prayer is commanded and exemplified. Burning incense and animal sacrifice are not sanctioned in Christian worship. And the New Testament is just as silent on the use of instruments of music in worship. Number three, Well, instruments help us. They are aids to worship. They are expedient. You know, it's necessary to see the difference between expedience, things which help us to do what we need to do to the worship service, and additions to it. You see, an expedient is something that helps you do the thing that the Lord directed without adding an element to the thing commanded. An addition is adding a new element to the service. Notice the following illustrations. God told Noah, again, to make thee an ark of gopher wood. God specified the kind of wood, but that did not eliminate any expedience. What could he have used? He could have used a hammer. He could have used a saw or any other kind of carpentry tools to help him build this boat. What would be the addition? Any other kind of wood. Another illustration. Christ commanded us to eat the Lord's Supper or observe the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him. What would constitute an expedient? And what would constitute an addition to the Lord's Supper? Well, the table would be expedient. The plates where the unleavened bread sit. The dishes where the fruit of the vine sit. Those help us. What would be additions? How about leavened bread? Or any other kind of element? He gives the commandment to sing. He specified the type of music. So what would constitute an expedient and an addition? Well, I see that you don't, well, you do have a few songbooks here. But they are used. How about the projector? That was very useful. Music notes, the music notation system. What would be the additions? Instruments, drums, guitars, pianos. See, the same thing concerning expedience and additions can easily be demonstrated in the manner of church buildings, in baptistries. Nothing is done with them that are not within the scope of God's will concerning the worship service. They do not set up actions in worship separate and apart from that which God has ordained, such as involved in the use of instrumental music. God has commanded Christians to meet. He didn't specify where to meet. We can meet under a tree. We can meet by the river. We can meet at someone's house. It may be a little crowded. But we've added nothing. The building just helps us. It aids us as a convenient place to meet. And we are blessed with this building. Christians are told when to meet. Acts 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. See, when Christ commanded the church to baptize, he implied everything that was necessary to carry out the command. In using a baptistry, Christians do not baptize and do something else at the same time. If one baptizes a penitent believer in a baptistry, a river, a lake, or a pond, he is doing no more nor less than is required in the command to baptize. God commanded the church to baptize, meet, and sing, but nowhere did he command the church to play. When one baptizes in a baptistry, he is not baptizing and doing something else at the same time. When one sings with a songbook or a projector, he is not singing and doing something else at the same time. But when one sings and plays the piano or other instruments, he is singing, listen, and playing. That's an addition at the same time. To summarize, God commands us to meet. We meet in the building. Is the building an expedient or is it an addition? It's an expedient. God commands us to baptize. Man's response is to baptize. In the baptistry, is the baptistry an addition or is it an expedient? God commands us to sing. Man sings. Are songbooks or projectors expedients or are they additions? They are expedients. They help us. God commands us to sing. Man's response, play. Is the instrument an expedient or isn't it an addition? It's an addition. It adds to what God has told us to do. I had someone say to me one time, so you're saying I cannot bring a guitar to make his music more beautiful. Those are his words. And I respond, are you saying that what God has commanded us to do is not enough? That you must add to what he had said? I got no reply. What about the tuning fork or the pitch pipe? Has anyone ever seen a person use a tuning fork? I have, actually. There's a student that uses a tuning fork. It's very impressive. But even I used that terminology when I was studying to become a Christian or how to become a Christian. I used that argument. You got the tuning fork or you've got the pitch pipe. Those are instruments. All of your other arguments are invalid. You're done. I came up with that syllogism. In the first place, I want you to know this, and I want you to say this to the person who brings this up. Musical instruments and pitch pipes are not one in the same. Music, properly defined, is a succession of tones in an orderly melodic pattern. And the pitch pipe is not designed to do that. It is not designed to produce succession of tones in an orderly melodic pattern. Its sole purpose is to secure the pitch for the singing. Who's the band director? Have you ever tried playing a song on this thing? You'd have to be a ninja. It's impossible. See, it's impossible to sing without pitch, though. Therefore, pitch is a necessary part of the command to sing. See, God has not specified how to secure the pitch. Pitch is a necessary part. Therefore, those who can sing can secure the pitch by any orderly convenient means. See, after the pitch pipe is used to secure the pitch, it becomes silent. It becomes silent. And the worship and song takes place. Nothing has been added to God's plan to worship. It becomes silent. The pitch pipe introduces no independent kind of musical activity in the worship service, as do the instruments. Ask yourself this question. What if instruments were commanded? That would mean that every single one of you would have to pick up an instrument and play. Because Colossians 3:16 says, teach and admonish one another. How would we fulfill the one another portion of that verse if all of you did not have instruments? Can you imagine the chaos? Can you imagine when a visitor walks in the building? Hey, what's your name? Oh, Bill? Hey, Bill, by the way, I have some drumsticks for you. We need you to play this. It's commanded. Bill's going to walk. Where's the edification? Have you taught beginning band before? Day one with musical instruments with sixth grade students? I bought a lot of Tylenol when I was a band director. So I always look forward to the day one of musical instruments. There's no edification. See, worship is supposed to be in order. not chaotic. We're supposed to be edified in worship, not leave being all confused. Now that we have seen the verse and observed a few worldly objections, let's determine why we're here. If we could remember that music in worship is not for the purpose for entertaining, but for teaching and for exalting, we would have no trouble seeing why God demanded vocal music and left out instrumental music. We should give God, our Heavenly Father, our all of us, especially during worship. And this is impossible if there was a praise band or an instrumentalist. For example, what if the congregation couldn't find a proficient player for worship? I've seen this before. We need to find a piano player quick, because I'm really getting tired of singing, or I'm getting tired of not having a piano player. Better yet, what if they found one? And that player they tried their best, bless their heart, but they were just not any good. I've seen that before too. Where would our thoughts be? On God? Not likely. On the other hand, what if the band was incredible? What if we had a band up here and they were always in tune together and we are just boogieing down? I had a colleague say to me one time, he was the PE teacher. I was making copies. He walks in, all fired up, walks next to me. Because I was the band director, he thought I would appreciate this. It was a Monday morning. "Brandon, you should have been at church with me. Yesterday we had a guest drummer at worship service. He was awesome. He was on fire. I'm coming back next week." He thought I'd appreciate it. Breaks my heart. Are we going to worship for the drummer? Are we going to worship the Father who sent His Son to die for us? I read a blog one time. People were arguing about the instrument in the worship service. Just so much hate. And this one particular lady said, "I'm willing to do anything to bring in the lost into the church building for worship. And if using mechanical instruments are needed, then that's what we'll do." First, I would like to commend her for her enthusiasm. She wants to bring people into the building. But I also want you to know that it's dangerous. Because my question is, where will it end? Door prizes? We need more people to come Sunday night. So what we're going to do is we're going to put a secret number under each one of your seats. And if we draw your number, you're going to... It's pollution. We can all agree that we want to bring the lost to His grace. But the only motivation that is needed to bring anyone into worship is God's promise for everlasting life to those who obey the gospel and live faithfully. For the simple fact that His grace gives us a chance to be forgiven for our sins, Do we not owe him what he simply commanded? Do we truly need to add this and that to worship? So who's the audience today? That would be our Creator, our Father, our God, our sole purpose for life, bringing glory to Him. So let's remember what the Bible says. Ephesians 5:19, speak in song and make melody in heart. The voice can, but the instrument cannot. Colossians 3:16, teach and admonish. The voice can, but the instrument cannot. 1 Corinthians 14:15, sing with spirit and in understanding. The voice can, but the instrument cannot. In summary, the human voice is capable of doing everything which God commands us to do as music and worship, while the instrument is incapable of doing anything required by music and in worship except make melody. And it does not do that in the right place, the human heart. It is significant that all the elements of Christian worship, what I mean by that is we are here in the assembly, and they're based upon living things. Our bodies are living sacrifices, Romans 12:1. God's New Testament temple is made up of lively stones, 1 Peter 2:5. The music of worship is performed on the most spiritual of all earthly instruments, the living human heart and voice. You see, friends, it was not an oversight on the part of God that He left instrumental music out of worship. He makes no mistakes. And I'm thankful for that. Only God can know what is pleasing and acceptable to Him. Therefore, we must consult His Word as to what pleases Him in the worship service. And we rejoice because He has given us His will in the matter in such plain language. We defined a cappella, and we noticed that it was in the Italian origin style, that once at one time man did think or believe that in that worship service had no instruments. We pulled out worldly reputations and we refuted them with scripture. And we determined who the audience is in worship right now. So when someone comes up to you, where do you go to church? West Huntsville Church of Christ. I'm a Christian. Church of Christ, huh? I hear you guys don't use instruments. Why is that? You know, it is okay to reply, well, why do you use them? I don't know your spiritual status right now. I don't know any of you really. Except I do know that I love you because we are in the family of God. And I love you because of what you've done for me. And you don't even know who I am. It's a wonderful blessing to be a Christian. But I do know that you're at a loving congregation. If you're not a child of God right now, all I can ask you is why. There are so many spiritual blessings involved. Hear the word. Believe it with all your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess his name before witnesses. Be baptized for the remission of sins. Live faithfully. If you've done those things, you are part of this family. And one of those spiritual blessings is that you can come back. You can come back to the Lord. And you will leave here without any question about your eternity. If there is any need to become a child of God or to restore and come back to the Lord, please do so as we stand and sing this invitation song.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.